troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Hello, guys.
How are you gentlemen this evening?
I'm good.
Very good, Bill. Very good. And audience, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine this evening. Looking forward to maybe finishing up these Ezekiel 38 and the serpents from the north.
Yes, audience, we have we're going to continue on our Armies of the North study from last week, and we basically, to lay this out if you didn't hear last week's show, we're describing the inhabitants of the earth and the effect that the armies of the north on a spiritual basis are having, and what it's likened to in scripture, and that can be found in Joel chapter 1 and 2. Chris, we'll go to you. Ezekiel studies, you want to give a basic synopsis for the continuing of this study?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Yeah, it's just something that I just start seeing this pattern, and it just seems so. It's been there all these years, and I just never really noticed it. And it's due to the fact that we're subject to so much false doctrine, and what we've been taught about the armies of the north, coming against Israel. But you want you to understand the spiritual understandings of these verses. And it just dawned on me, oh my gosh, this army of the north is raging right now. We're surrounded by the army of the north right now, the church, the true remnant church. Once you pick up on that, you realize that's who these locusts are. And, it's opened up a whole new, road, an inroad into understanding. Ultimately, just making it more and more simple. The story is just told over and over and over. And now it's just another scene of the same story that we're getting. Just putting these identities on these, false prophets. The army of the north is the ones who they're the locusts, the cankerworms, that have eaten the gospel. They have eaten the sound doctrine, and that's where we are today. As we're, the church is just consumed with false doctrine. In other words, Israel is surrounded with armies, and that's where we are today.
Bill?
Yeah, it's just totally encompassed by armies. There's no question about that. That's when he said to head for the hills.
Yeah.
An audience. Who is, there's them, and there's those that follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. And there's no in between. And scripturally, the proper rendering is that you are the temple of the Lord, and you're in this situation in this generation, that Revelation has revealed to you that the armies of the north, through some period of time, we can't give a definitive time. Bill,
no.
Chris?
No, I don't have a definitive time.
So we don't, this build up and then the releasing of the army.
I see smoke in the air, but that's, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, but.
And that's what you're dealing with on many levels of scripture, audience. And you're the temple of the Lord. You've entered into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you repented of your sins. You're likened unto many, many parables of the disciples and the sinners and the people that were cured from their physical ailments. But spiritually, you're seeing the truth of this generation and the situation you're in scripturally from Revelation. Not only from Revelation, but the confirming scriptures of Joel tells you exactly what's going on. And you have to come into a period of time to have this revealed. And we're here at the Watchman Weekly saying, do it today. Enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. Petition the Lord to reveal this. Sin no more and go as the prostitute. No flesh is good. All the admonishments of our Lord Jesus Christ apply to this. And it will come without observation. But it will come without observation to who? To the serpents and the scorpions. And Bill, could we go into a little study of the spiritual aspect of serpents and scorpions?
Yeah. I was just studying that yesterday, and as many times as I've read that, you know, we always go back and, you know, focus on something that you didn't see or didn't focus on. And first of all, just that I didn't know that serpents and scorpions was only two times in Scripture, Deuteronomy 8:15 and Luke 10:19, which jumps out as me as obviously as two factions of evil. But Luke 17:21. In the verses 17 through 21 in chapter 10, it specifically states that the serpents and scorpions are demonic spirits and evil powers of darkness. They're not fleshly people. Jesus put the emphasis on the devils as being the serpents and scorpions and not the person. In verse 17, where he says, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And then, you know, in verse 20, he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. So when you're treading upon the powers of darkness, which are the serpents and scorpions, these are spiritual powers of darkness, which Paul addresses in Ephesians chapter 6. When you have them under your feet, you're ruling and reigning over them. And we've discussed this word subject before in verse 20. He says, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. So if they're your subjects, you're reigning. He says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's why we need to love our enemies, and because it's not the person per se that we're seeing. It's the demonic. Jesus specifically identifies the serpents and scorpions in Luke chapter 10 as being demonic spirits that were cast out of that person. It wasn't that person himself that he referred to as the serpent or the scorpion.
They all came to Jesus.
Right.
Every story of a devil cast out of them, they stayed with our Lord.
You know, in Ephesians chapter 6:12, as we so often discuss, read this verse, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's two factions of right there. That's finite. Flesh and blood is finite. It's a waste of time. It's too factional. It's going to be cut off and thrown away anyway. But against principalities, against powers. And here's a big part of the verse, really big part. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So they're only rulers of the darkness of this world. They're not rulers of the children of light. The children of light rule over them. They're only, it says, just as it says in Ephesians 6, they're the rulers of the darkness of this world. These are all those that are in blind. These are all those that are blind and uncircumcised of the heart. These are the, that's who they rule. That's the darkness of this world. They remain in darkness. Yes, we're hoping to spread the, you know, to be good stewards and point Jesus to Jesus Christ and teach this gospel and pull as many, you know, help get the message out to of repentance and keeping covenant. And, you know, we were just discussing earlier this evening that the plumb line is actually, you know, it's the covenant too. And get people out of this darkness, you know, or point them in the direction so they can come out of the darkness.
And I it's a very, very difficult topic to cover scripturally, audience, on one level. On another level, it's very simple. You are the holy temple of the Lord. You are being fed by the Holy Spirit, the meat of Scripture. You are studying yourself approved. You have recognition through the Scriptures that from Genesis to Revelation, the army of the north is all bad. And the releasing of the pit of hell is associated with a great plague, great afflictions. And to keep it individual, as you are the temple of the Lord, you're seeing this manifest when you go to a church and they're preaching dispensational or pre-tribulation rapture, any other doctrine but the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ and his Amen. Gospel.
You know, getting back real quickly to the serpents and scorpions, Bob, it is actually described in Deuteronomy 15, and it tells you pretty much the same thing. When it's speaking of Moses, who led the through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. And the rock of flint there is actually a signature of Christ. Flint itself actually abounded everywhere in those valleys that they were wandering in for 40 years. And in Isaiah 57 and Ezekiel 49. But they're referred to as the Messiah in Isaiah 57, chapter 50, verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 9. And this rock of Flint now is this rock. There is no water until you got to strike the rock. That's repentance, going back to Christ.
Oh,
amen.
And then yeah, the fountain of living. It's quite interesting. It's in Deuteronomy there, and you know, Ezekiel 3:9 says, "And an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead for them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." You know, they were speaking of Christ right there.
And that's part of it, audience. The mind of Christ be likened unto in you. You know, you now know that the Christianity, the religions of the world, are likened unto the people running it in our Lord's time, Pharisees and Sadducees. The example that our Lord gives in terms of using Paul as a holy vessel. Now, Paul's out killing people, dragging them to prison, torture, but he thinks he's doing the will of the Lord.
John 16:2.
And at the stoning of Stephen's, he's there. And he's not armed in the spirit. He thinks he's doing the right thing.
Yep.
And he repented because he was healed by our Lord Jesus Christ. and the analogy of the scales on his eyes is the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ being revealed to him individually. In all of his acts and the metaphors involved in his acts and the admonitions through his letters tell that you will have a time when no one will adhere to sound doctrine. And our Lord admonishes in Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, it can't get more simpler than that, audience. Because the deception is the Army of the North. They're on your radio, they're on the internet, they're everywhere. And it's hard to say that, you know, somebody's demon-filled, but scripturally it's true. Do they know it? No. Do you know it? Well, if they're preaching false doctrine, you know they're deceiving people and they receive the greater damnation and it's woe unto them. So in effect, by not preaching that doctrine and speaking for the gospel, contending for the faith of anybody that listens to that.
I said Paul and Barnabas waxed bold.
In a form of using the sword, the word, because you can point to the meat of Scripture and say, that's absolutely a lie, and you shouldn't be doing that. Or leading people to study the gospel and learn for themselves so that they may be holy vessels of our Lord Jesus Christ. They may be lively stones. And it's not what we're studying, it's whatever the Lord would have you study. It's an unlimited book. It is the Word of God. It is the Word Himself that's revealed to you. So your studies may absolutely have nothing to do with our studies, but somewhere, because you're studying yourself approved, this analogy proves true. And the final analogy to wrap this up, so you have some idea of what you're dealing with, you're armed in the Spirit for this. You're prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ to have this revelation sit in your heart so that you can see that the Army of the North is upon the land and see who the serpents and scorpions are and who the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all bad on the other side of the plumb line, on the other side of the fixed chasm, of the other side of who's written in the book of life and who's not. And it's sobering. Chris?
Amen. It is very sobering right now. These are very, very serious times that we're in. And, you know, it's very clear to me that the deception is just going to continue. And it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to get really bad. I mean, it's really bad now. But we're in for so much cunningly devised fables as far as the Christian right and where everybody's attention is today and where everybody has their hope in. I'm talking about the Christian church. They have their hope in the wrong things. Their hope is misplaced as they're looking for these earthly answers, and it's just not going to end well. So it's just, but I'm still very clear, sure that there is a group that continues to wake up. You know, I'm seeing it all the time now. There's people, you know, just joining on all the time. You know, we had a couple people asked to be, to subscribe to the blog, you know, asked to be Facebook friends. Just one at a time. It's encouraging. So that's what I'm always going to be focused on the positive side of that. Because God is still, they're still lost sheep, and God's not going to come back until they're all, they're all gathered.
And it's the good news of this audience is you're meant to hear and study the Word of God. That you've been informed that these people have changed doctrines in the ordinances, and I better study myself approved. I better get right with the Lord, so to speak. Brother Bill? Get ready with the Lord about now? Sound like a plan?
Yeah, that's always been the message for since John the Baptist, from one crying in the wilderness. The message hasn't changed.
An audience,
despite whether we have 1,000 years to go or 15 minutes to go, it's still the same message.
And all of Revelation is speaking that, you know, you could go to Revelation 28, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now we're told, audience, that when you see these things, the abomination of desolation, which is that the apostate Christian churches that are under a 501c affiliation and every, all the garbage, all the lies, all the afflictions, all the plagues are past. Okay. These are past. Revelation is live now. How past are they? Is there anyone from your corner church to the big mainstream churches preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Chris?
Amen.
Is anybody preaching it?
Well, you know, I haven't found one.
Bill?
Is any main preacher teaching the gospel?
Any corner church? Any?
Well, I would, you know, I see a lot of them on the internet, the churches. I can't find any. I do know some personal family members and stuff that are going to churches, and the doctrine that they tell me there is, I can tell that it's incorrect. I can go through and search the doctrinal statements for all the major. I was just reading one or two of them the other day from different forms of the Pentecostal, and every one of their statements of faiths are incorrect. At least I haven't found one that's correct.
Which is an indication, audience, that those that are in the meat of Scripture, that have been studying themselves approved, that understand they're to be in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, that to know the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, read this gospel, as you're admonished to do, that you can't see any of this going on in terms of, you know, you're not going to walk up and see that a demon's inhabiting some man. Okay, it's by faith that the analogies, the parables, the examples are true. Now, if there's a demon possession, some person, and you're told that it's likened unto this, and you're told that, you know, this isn't about flesh and blood, this is spiritual, then you now have the understanding that as you, as the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, are not going to see some demon. Okay, this is an sample for you. You're to forgive that man. They know not what they do. You may know right away that somebody's preaching a false doctrine. Well, Bill, is that an indication that they're possessed by a demon?
Well, if you're not reborn, you have another father if you're not reborn.
It doesn't get simpler than that, audience.
It doesn't get any simpler. There's only two. Jesus actually described this very same thing in John chapter 8, as he was telling them they had a different father. If you're teaching a different gospel, it has to come from, you know, there's only one truth, so this gospel had to come from some other father. And it's pretty simple, yeah.
Chris, you want to add to this?
It's the father of lies. John 8:44, I believe.
It really does get down to either born again or not. You know, you're either saved or not saved. Those are the only two people. And, you know, we complicate that. But that's what it's all about, you know, the wheat and the tares.
So you have all the admonitions, all the admonishments of our Lord can be studied very simply on many levels. It could be through Eastward, it could be through your Bible, and we highly recommend King James Version Bible, but whatever the Holy Spirit reveals you to do, audience, to identify that the army of the north, the plagues, are upon the inhabitants of the earth. And that in our generation, these admonitions from our Lord and the apostles tell you this. Galatians 2:4. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, one of the applications is you're in captivity if you're in bondage. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, come out of her. And that's the recognition of the harlot church. And come unto me. For the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For his covenant. And the rest are them. And that's it. Now, when we say a simple analogy of, you know, you serve your father, the devil, or you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that's scriptural. On every level. So the modern term of who's your daddy doesn't get easier than that. This is sobering. It's sobering news, but it's good news. It's good news of this gospel because you're receiving the true revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ through his parables and his examples and analogies, and not the world's.
Yeah, I've got a verse up here, Hosea 12:10. You know, I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. You know, I mean, in that one little verse in Hosea, God is telling us what he's doing. I mean, this whole understanding of the metaphoric language and the pure language in the last days that he has promised is, you know, it's only for God's people to see it. I mean, that's how he's done it. That's how he protects his word, his truth, because he has the ability to veil it from those who love not the truth. You know, this is the dynamic that he uses. And, you know, the fact that he does teach in these similitudes, these pictures. And, it's just fascinating. It's amazing because God truly has opened up his word. You know, as he said in Daniel, they'll go that way, Daniel, these words will be sealed till the time of the end. And, you know, here we are, you know, just, you know, really grateful for, you know, the foundational work that Sue Patterson and Randy Moggins did with the third day studies and the identifying the metaphors and what these words have meant, you know, we've read them all these years and, not being able to understand them. You know, it's just been frustrating, actually. I know for me, once you pick up on the patterns of these metaphors, it just comes alive. It's just amazing. And here we are right now. It's so exciting. And here we see a great nation, you know, and out of the North Country. Well, immediately the world wants to say that's Russia. You know, it's just because they don't have spiritual eyes. They just don't have the eyes to see the picture the Lord is painting here.
And just let me interject before you lose your train of thought, Chris. Audience, this is Nicodemus. Okay, the redemption of Nicodemus. He's full Pharisee. He's top notch. He's on the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, it was actually a rich ruler that sat upon the Sanhedrin.
There you have. He's not your corner church pastor. Okay, he's one of the big three.
Right.
And he's visiting Jesus at night. He doesn't want his worldly, fleshly people thinking that he's converting.
Right.
But he's understanding. And he came to repentance. And our Lord told him, you're not going to see this unless you be reborn. And a paraphrase is, you know, how can I come out of my mother's womb again? You know, what are we talking about? How am I going to see this? How am I going to see this? Well, the Lord told him, and he waited on the Lord. And he witnessed the events that led to the cross. And it was he who came to get the body in public, right, in the light.
That's right.
Now, the very difficult. Anybody ever thought that we'd be doing Revelation 2-3 years ago out of a on the internet on a show? It's crossed anybody's mind?
No.
No. As a matter of fact, when I read Revelations 2 or 3 years ago, it was probably just like Steve Quell or one of those guys reading it. I just read the whole thing with a flesh perspective. I mean, that's...
Which is... It's scriptural, audience. It's scriptural that these events are happening. Without a doubt, gentlemen, Army of the North is upon the land.
Well, just for an example, I mean, this is something that's ignored, really. I mean, like, this is a portion of scripture, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We see verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. And in verse 40, there is also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another one. And then here in 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. And how many times, you know, that's in sun, moon, and stars is in the scripture 14 times. That, you know, that those three terms grouped together. And all these years of reading that, having no clue what that meant, you know. But now, understanding the metaphors, these are similitudes, and it's clearly taught right here that these kind of scriptures are to be interpreted physically at times and spiritually, celestially and terrestrially. You know, it's
absolutely.
The terrestrial is the earthly, and the celestial is the in the heavenly, is the spiritual. So, and then, you know, we see the sun, the physical sun, you know, actually it's the terrestrial sun, is the sun up in the sky. The moon is the moon up in the sky. The stars is the, and then the celestial sun is a metaphor for the, well, the sun is the gospel. Is the best understanding of that I can put together.
It is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's Jesus Christ, right? There's a righteous sun, moon, and the stars. Absolutely, there's a righteous sun, moon, and the stars in the text. And then obviously there's the unrighteous sun, the moon, and the stars too.
And well, absolutely. Well, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And then what happens to them? It says that the sun is, you know, is darkened, and the sun no longer gives its light. Well, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars no longer give their light. Well, you can take that sun and say that the word has been blotted, you know, that has been darkened. You know, that we teach.
I agree.
Adamantly here.
But you were talking about physical things in the Bible. You go back to Genesis chapter 8, I believe, 9 or 10. I'm not sure which chapter off the top of my head, where it says that Noah was drunk.
Yeah.
And so often through the scriptures, drunkenness is referred to as spiritual drunkenness. But in that case, it wasn't. That was a physical drunkenness, that Noah did physically get drunk. That's where you have to rightly divide the truth, you know.
Right.
Because obviously Noah was not spiritually drunk. That had been the first time that fermentation had been seen after the flood, because the oxygen content had completely changed in the world. Things started fermenting. The whole world changed after the flood. Noah had drank wine for 600 years and it never bothered him. Now after the flood, he has this wine and he gets drunk. That's showing you the difference in the world before the flood and after the flood. But it had nothing to do with spiritual drunkenness. Yet you go to Isaiah chapter 28, and it says the crown of the Ephraim there, the drunkards of Ephraim. Well, that's talking about spiritual drunkenness there. That's not talking about drinking whiskey or being alcoholics.
And here's a here's another plumb line, audience. To recognize this, you could follow the Ten Commandments. And then you'll grow into love the Lord with all your heart and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's just the admonitions of the Bible are true. And the world doesn't want you to know that because you're being deceived at every level. And who's deceiving you? The other guys. The other side of the plumb line. And you can get this from Paul, 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Now, the physical demonstration of the flesh at that time, Paul had. You know, he's got vipers biting him that would kill anybody in 10, 15 seconds, a minute. And he's shaking him off into the fire as an analogy. He's being stoned. He's being thrown off cliffs. Now, these are physical events. But they're also in samples for you. Spiritual in samples. Mm-hmm. To understand that this is not the way people are going to see it. And this generation isn't going to see it. They're going to follow fleshly Israel, as an example. They're going to follow the Mormons. They're going to follow Buddha. They're going to follow Jesus Christ. Study His Word. He is the foundation. He is the Word. And He's reigning now. Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. He's ruling and reigning in His kingdom, which is the inner court. Once again, as Brother Chris said earlier, it's saved, unsaved. It's the inner court and the outer court. The inner court, you have all of this stuff under your feet. The outer court, you're being trampled upon.
Don't worry about the outer court.
Right.
Don't pull up the wheat and the tares.
You don't want to be. It's a place you don't want to be.
Yes, don't pull up the tares.
Right.
Most terrifying thought you could ever have is, I knew you not.
It's a cattle stampede, the outer court, and you want to get out of there into the inner court.
Spiritual journey to New Jerusalem, Israel of God, remnant. Because nobody, they say remnant, it's ashes. From what's going on. If you're waiting on the multitude, don't. If you're not fully armed in the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, do get armed. If you want to find out the truth, go to Target and see if you can find a King James Version Bible. That's the diminishment of the word, the changing of the ordinances, the changing of the doctrines. If we want to get right with the government and be a patriot, well, constitutionally, you know, that is your right. You give to Rome what's Rome. No one's going to see this coming, so these fleshly economic hardships are a natural cycle, as they've always been, and will go through from greedy men. But the difference is it's happening to the inhabitants of the earth. The International Monetary Fund, the reserve currency is all worldly. Okay? If the reserve currency goes down, so does all the other currencies. So these effects that we say on one level the church is being judged, well, they're judged because they're still in the church. They didn't come out of her and come to our Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't come out of Babylon. They didn't come out of spiritual Egypt. They didn't come to the Lord. They didn't enter covenant. Their houses are not in order. And we hope that changes. But at this time, it hasn't.
Well, the encouraging verse is in Joel that you know, it's an excellent example of the that the Lord restores the years that the locusts have eaten, and we, you know, we see that the years the locusts have eaten is, you know, what we're experiencing now, you know, the diminishment of the word and the these false doctrines that have crept into the house of God. The scripture is very clear that the Lord does restore those years. So that'll be, you know, it's interesting. Well, it's happening because it happened in my life. Because, you know, literally, you know, the years that I sat under the false teaching, and it just kept driving me, you know, slowly but surely, waiting for things to get better. They just got worse until the time I snapped and said, okay, you know, enough's enough here. And Lord, what's up? You know, I just cried out. Didn't know quite what I was asking for, but, you know, I got that clarity back, that I got connected. And, you know, he started unraveling all this to me. And now, in the last 3 years, the years that the locusts have eaten, you know, have been restored in my life, because I've replaced those lies with truth.
And we're told, audience, this is all scriptural. Mark 4:17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. And these, they are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So there's your plumb line, audience. The people that are visited, surely they're visited, Bill.
Yes, I believe everybody has an hour of visitation.
And Chris, we were just, I know this is a little early, but when we were talking about the Holy Spirit being given, it's very possible that it's being given to all, good and bad.
It's what effect it has, I think, is how I'm seeing it. The Holy Spirit, you know, is poured out on all flesh, but it's, you know, where it takes root, you know, if it takes root downward, or if it, you know, if it falls on the rocky soil, you know, there's several ways of understanding that, but it just seems that the reference of the Spirit is tied to the storm, the storm of tribulation at the same time. You know, and I see it as the truth, the Spirit being poured out as the understanding of the truth that causes tribulation. You know, we see the lightning is the truth that causes the thunder. The thunder is the voices of the remnant speaking the truth into the apostate church, causing the earthquake, you know, so great an earthquake. And, you know, this is happening right now. This is all playing out right now, because there are, there's conflict everywhere out there. Is the double-edged sword is, you know, is cutting and dividing. And we see the common heresy, the common, lie that the, deceived Christians are believing, well, for the whole world for that matter, is that there's going to be something they put together out there that these politicians come up with, that's going to end up in world peace. And anybody that believes that is somebody who doesn't read their Bible. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. And this crazy ball of confusion is about one thing, it's about God separating out his flock. The people that are his, you know, his sheep hear his voice, and those are the ones that are going to spend eternity with the Lord. You want to be, you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, baby.
And your tribulation is now, audience. Your proper rendering of scripture is telling you that the foundational stone, our Lord Jesus Christ, is going to crush all kingdoms to powder. And historically, in the Daniel, in the days of these kingdoms, those kingdoms have already been destroyed by our Lord Jesus Christ crushing them to powder. They don't exist anymore, but a recapitulation can be, now it's inhabitants of the earth. And these kingdoms are our Lord's kingdom, where he rules and reigns now, and Satan's kingdom of the earth, which is under his footstool. He's running the show both ways. He's running both kingdoms. Bill? Scriptural?
Yeah.
Satan answers to the Lord Jesus Christ, audience. It's hard to get your mind around. And the last fleshly ruler of Israel was our Lord Jesus Christ. And our spiritual ruler now is our Lord Jesus Christ. And when this is over, our ruler is our Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let anybody tell you anything differently. And you can study this yourself and study yourself approved and recognize this. Because the perennial army of the north is at your door. Bill?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, the time is now.
It's the Battle of Armageddon. It's the Valley of Decision. The Valley of Armageddon and the multitudes in the Valley of Decision. Here we are, folks. Showtime. It's separation time.
And if you're a captive and you've heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, you enter into covenant with him, he will reveal this to you through his Holy Spirit, through the gospel.
Yeah, the church once again is in Babylonian captivity. They're captive by the false doctrine, the lies. And that's why we need the truth, because the truth makes you free. It frees you from this bondage, this slavery. It's all happening right now in real time. Come out of her, my people.
When Abraham's family was captured, I don't have it in front of me, he went to get them. And when they got them, it says they fed them, they clothed them, they took care of them. And that is what the Lord wants for you, audience. That's the good news in all this. Because the darkness of this generation is only light is our Lord Jesus Christ. Chris?
Amen. And when we see the description of the Tree of Babylon in Daniel, and we see how it's just written, so, the Lord's just, calmly telling us that, the fowls of the heavens and the beasts of the field have, found refuge in this church. And, we've read these verses over and over, not realizing how real they are right now in our face. And we see that the tree of Babylon, the tree in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the tree of Babylon whose sins have reached heaven, it feeds flesh. It feeds the flesh. This is what's going on today in the church. The church feeds the flesh. It doesn't feed the spirit. And that's why we have the house of God in such disarray. We've got broken families and men addicted to pornography. And, I don't know how many times I've seen people from my church up there with, I don't know. I hate to be judgmental, but it's like, why, it just breaks my heart. Because these people are not being satisfied, and they've dug for themselves their own cisterns. They've forsaken the fountain of living water, and they've traded in for the fountain of Budweiser. I don't know how many times I've seen people from my old church at the store with a 30 pack in the cart and the look on their face or whatever. It's just. It just breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart that what's happened today is these. I'm saying people that love the Lord, but they've just fallen for this deception, and I'm just you know, my prayer is that that lost sheep would, you know, that lost sheep that's just searching would find the pasture, you know, find Jesus' pasture, because you know he does promise that not one will be lost, you know, that the Lord has given him. So we have to hold on to those verses. We know when that last sheep is found, he's going to come back.
An audience, the you can find scripturally, Mark 13:19. For in those days shall be affliction. Now, it's very important to understand what affliction is, audience. This is pressure, and this is stated as literally or figuratively, affliction, anguish, burden, persecution, tribulation, trouble, as such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. So in this time, the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ have never been in more tribulation. And when we're told that you have the Ephesians 6 armor, the armor of God, the armor of light, and that you're protected from these fiery darts from Satan, you're in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you understand the mystery of the gospel, you are Thomas, being admonished that you've got to have faith in this, you know, blessed are those who don't see it, because they have to have faith, and that's what the Lord's revelation is, to have faith. And through the scriptures we're told, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Now this is the most overturned scripture in terms of there's a nuclear Armageddon coming. There is a earthquakes, metaphoric, is not taken into contact. It's fleshly earthquakes and such. Okay, this is the individual being dead without salvation. The very basic of it. Bill?
Yeah, you must be reborn again. If you're not reborn, you know, you're dead, and you need to be quickened. It's Jesus Christ that quickeneth the spirit. Walking zombies, walking dead people. Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead."
The zombie apocalypse. I've actually kind of gleaned some understanding from that. You hear a lot of that today. I don't quite know what they really mean by it, but I know we're surrounded by zombies, that's for sure. People that are caught up in this, you know, this propaganda machine, you know, that's just so overwhelming. The masses that are just hypnotized by this television set and the false reality that's been created for them. They truly are zombies in one respect. I don't want to be judgmental here, but these are the people we're trying to reach, and it's not easy.
Well, we certainly can't point fingers. Okay, as much as I'd like to fleshly point the finger at John Hagee for leading all of his flock as an idle shepherd that's changed the ordinances and changed the doctrines and is leading his flock into a doctrine of demons. You know, John Hagee was a baby at some time. So who are we to condemn him? But we stand in the truth, and the truth itself condemns him. And that's scriptural. And if you have a circumcised heart, as a spiritual Jew of the Israel of God, you recognize that he's in bad, bad trouble.
Well, do you think that there might be any coincidence that they removed in the new Bibles, they received the greater damnation in Matthew chapter 23.
Another amazing fact that you know, they're changing the ordinances.
That's what he was speaking of, is the false teachers there in Matthew chapter 23.
Did we ever do on the Seventh-day Adventist? Did we do a study on them?
Oh, I don't know if we ever did a full study on them. They're a big dialectic to the Catholic Church.
The Pope did it. The Pope did it.
Right. I mean,
but he did.
Do they have some things? They have some things right? Yeah,
they got that right. Yeah, that's one thing they do have right.
Audience, no, everybody is going to have something right.
Yeah,
they're going to have some part of the diminished.
Yes, absolutely.
But when you study yourself approved, and you are from a pre-tribulation rapture church, and you actually study it yourself, and the Holy Spirit reveals to you, but boy, that is a doctrine of demons.
See, the thing with it, you know, this goes back to the Millerite movement in the 1840s. You had the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons at the same time. What happens is they didn't build their faith upon, just like the Protestant Reformation, our faith is in the Reformation or something. I mean, you already got the wrong foot now. You're already stepping out into the, to cross the Red Sea. You're taking, you know, stepping out with the left foot instead of the right foot. Your faith is not in the Reformation. Your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same with this Millerite movement. It's like all of them, all of this stuff went to trash. All the prophecies fell apart, but that was their rock that they built upon.
Right.
Rather than Jesus Christ. So they have
to. That's what's happening today. That's exactly what's happening today.
It all repeats over and over.
Because we heard, you know, our dear sister Loretta, you know, has got her finger on the pulse of this, of the church, you know, and what the church is doing. And there's an effort coming against the remnant that are leaving the churches, because people are leaving the churches. They are hearing the call to come out and flee to the wilderness, and there's definite opposition to that. And, you know, she sent me a thing last week, and it said how you have to be a part of a church. You have to be plugged into the vine. So here's what they're doing here. See, they're making the church the vine.
They're making the church the vine. That's just flesh.
That's absolute blasphemy right there. And that's truly the image of the beast right there. That's what you're seeing in that. The church is the deity. You have to be plugged into the vine, which is the church. Come on. It's not the church, it's Jesus Christ, you know.
All through Scripture, it tells the same tale.
So suddenly, you know, that's why Esau's a cunning hunter.
Yeah.
He lies in wait for you, audience, to take you captive.
Which is what the serpent does.
They can cunningly twist the Scriptures around, and, like you said, and make the church the vine.
Yeah, church or magic underwear or 144,000.
That's why he kept telling his disciples, how come you fall asleep in the garden?
Remember, the workers of the field, audience, they told the Lord that someone had tares. He knew it. He told them who it was. It was Satan. They recognize this. They witnessed this. And the metaphor for witnessing now is, do you think that these million-dollar McMansion preachers down to your corner church that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit are good? It's a good to teach children anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Is anything else not suffering these little children's coming unto Him? Do you recognize the doctrines of demons now in terms of the world is propagating its own religion, its own following, man's best that man can do? And it was foretold through Scripture on a spiritual level, and we could say on a fleshly level, gentlemen.
Yeah, the whole story, what you just said there, is in Daniel chapter 2. That's the golden image. the golden image was, you know, is made with sorcerers, soothsayers, and astrologers. And that's what we have in the church. They've made the image, they've made the church, is that's Nebuchadnezzar's statue. They make the religion the vine, just like Chris said. And they worship the statue. You know, it's a spiritual statue now, but it's exactly the same story. And they did it through all the wise men of the world, see? All the wise men in Babylon created this statue.
And they always got killed, audience. Do you ever recognize that in scripture? The soothsayers, the wise men, the magician, always came up against the word of God and God's servants. And they were always killed. Always. And remember,
and of course, that religion grows into a great tree. I mean, it's...
We can never get enough of the parable of the mustard seed, audience. Because they overturned that so bad that no one will ever recognize that puffed up is not good. That the mustard bush plant itself doesn't grow into a large, huge tree. It's actually
a bush. Couldn't even support a nest of a bird. It would just fall over. There's no way you could put a fowls of the air could lodge and have nests in its branches.
And fowls are 99% of the time in scripture, except under the context of, I believe, eagle's wings, are all bad. They're equated to serpents and scorpions and demons.
Right. Other than doves and, yeah, I agree. Yeah, they are.
Other than the fowls that were sacrificed.
First tells you about them in Raven in Genesis chapter 7, or 8, the raven. The black ravens.
And it never stops.
They wandered to and fro.
Great analogies, audience. Great analogies. Serpents, scorpions, fowls of the air. The tree, the religious teaching is that the tree is great. Everything's good. It's leaven's a good thing. The Lord was never served leaven. The woman hid three measures of leaven and leavened the whole lump. And that's Christianity lined up right now with the armies of the north and the plagues of the locust inhabiting the churches. And you're stuck to look at this, and the only way you have to go is to choose Jesus Christ or to go to hell. Chris?
Amen. Yeah, this, you know, it's in, and it's all about the Northern Armies. This is where we are, folks. We're surrounded. And, you know, it's, circle the wagons, you know, because it's, you know, God's protections in the inner court. That's where we are. That's where His remnant are. And, I'm Mount Zion, literally, you know, spiritually on Mount Zion.
Bill?
Yeah, the spiritual Mount Zion and the Valley of Decision. That's about the two choices. Once again, it gets back to the sheep and the goats, saved and unsaved.
And it never got more complicated than that, audience.
No. The simplicity of the gospel.
And we could say 100 years ago, a lot more people knew that than know it now.
Yeah, because they weren't all so college smart 100 years ago. They didn't have all of this enormous wisdom and technology and whatever. World full of distractions. You know, man just could not handle steel. Steel was the gift that he is going to bring about his final destruction.
Steel made everything global, audience. Everything went global when steel became the main industry. It allowed man to do just about anything he wanted. And as always, man ran it into the ground, polluted the earth, destroyed others, just chemically, pharmaceuticals, abortion, everything that's vile to the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, that smell that's coming to the Lord, that he smells and it just brings his wrath. That's here right now. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And that spoil audience is to lead away as a booty, that is, seduce or spoil. That philosophy is specifically Jewish philosophy, and rudiments is something orderly in arrangement, that is, by implication, a serial, basal, fundamental, constituent, literally, preposition, rudiment, principle, element. And these are all of the world, and that world is the orderly arrangement, that is, the decoration, by implications, the world, in a wide and narrow sense, including its inhabitants, literally or figuratively, morally, adorning world. Now, our Lord God, his ways are not our ways. And this is his revelation. So be it. It is time to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ and let the world go by. Be sure of your election. Chris?
Yeah, I'm, you know, ready for Jeremiah, if you are.
Well, certainly.
How about we go to close? We're at 139, 149.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm just, you know, running along with you guys. Just everybody in the audience, want to thank everybody and just utter amazement at what's taking place right now. And, you know, just the privilege that it is that the Lord has revealed it to us. And, you know, we're numbered among the, you know, be sure of your election, you know, and that's what we're called to do. And, boy, there's just no place to be but in the inner court, in the truth, abiding in Christ, not making lies your refuge. And with that, yeah, I'm just going to say goodnight and thank everybody for their support until next week.
Brother Bill?
Yes, my message is to repent. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized in the Holy Ghost for the remission of sins, and he shall send the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Audience, in closing, Colossians 2:22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. And the simple rendering of that, audience, is that if you follow a man now, it's, thus saith the Lord, but you're probably following the Army of the North. And if you're following the Army of the North, you're on the other side. You're on that fixed gap. Seek ye him, our Lord Jesus Christ, for your salvation. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.
pleasure, wine and fame. You bow and